Looking forward to having this topic of discussion with y'all is an understatement of epic proportions, okay? And by epic proportions, I mean since this podcast started, okay? But I'm finally getting around to it, so buckle up, sit down, pull up a drink, whether it be alcoholic or not, and we're gonna get down to it. We've all heard of the sayings of actions speak louder than words, right? And we've all heard, if you're affluent in social media, the whole if he wanted to, he would situation, which is both referring to the same exact thing. What someone wants to do, they spend energy and time doing. Therefore, if they put in actions towards investing in a relationship, then you know what their intention is. That's why women and men's brains think differently. For men, it's a one-track mind, most of the time. For women, when we see a problem, it's not necessarily the problem that is our problem. It's the theme that surrounds the problem. For example, common thing in marriages. Woman asks man to put laundry in basket instead of throwing the laundry near the basket but never in the actual basket. Husband says, okay, maybe does it once or twice, then goes back to his regular default mode. Okay? Happens once or twice more. 20 times, 30 times, whatever. Now woman says, it doesn't seem like they care about me. And man says, how is that not me? How is that saying I don't care about you? Well, the woman is looking at it from a thematic point of view. Not about you are not putting laundry in the basket. It's the fact that she asked you to put the laundry in the basket. Therefore, if you're not putting it in the basket, it means you didn't listen to her. It means you didn't care about her opinion, about her concerns, about what she wanted. It's actually pretty easy to decode what a woman wants if she's mature. Because what she's telling you is pretty much what she wants for most cases. Now, this is usually applying to a mature woman, so if she's not, just regard it or save it for when you are with a mature woman. But for the most part, actions do speak louder than words. Now, I've been trying to figure out a way to slide you guys into this transition, but I figured the best way is to mention a previous relationship I was in. Mind you, let's set the scene. Freshman year of college. COVID. High. Masks everywhere, except for your room. Classes being held outdoors to have any semblance, normalcy of what it is to meet in person. It's a history class, okay? And I know, first of all, the person I dated is my friend before and is my friend now. So the reason why I'm doing this is for a lesson, because I did some stupid mistakes, but also to put him on blast. So, you know, I had to do that. Anyway, have this class, have this friend, right? Gonna be honest though, didn't notice him, nor did I know his existence of until he Snapchatted me, because he put all of us, he like got us to put our Snapchat in a group chat for our history class, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't understand the point of it, but it doesn't matter, he individually, whatever, blah, 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 yada, 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 one, blah, 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 started dating. So, basically, what ended up happening is some fight. Mind you, he made it this whole relationship thing a little bit more on an emphasis than I did. Personally, I was seeing like two or three guys. Like, I didn't consider this dating. Like, I was dating around, but I wasn't in a full relationship, okay? Ladies know what I mean, guys know what I mean. But, you know, I'm really enjoying telling you guys this because honestly, he, the one I'm mentioning right now, let's just call him Brad. Brad and his friends, and by the way, Brad has told me multiple occasions that he has listened to my podcast with his friends in the living room on speaker. So I really have no shame in calling Brad out. Anyway, point is, we were on break, Brad was back home, and I guess like, this is how much the relationship did not stick in my brain, okay? Because I don't even remember the conversation. I don't even remember the fight we had or whatever. Let's just say we both got on each other's nerves because we were so alike that it just didn't work, okay? Like the same poles of a magnet, just pew, okay? Now, sidetrack, side note, we're friends, and I remember sometimes we'll, like, sit. And by the way, he's been there for me when I've broken up with another guy. Like, he's been there for me, okay? And I remember sometimes I'm like, dang, I wonder if we could get back together. And then I literally remember, oh, wait. He literally talks in 2.5x speed. Never mind. But back to the story. Get into this argument, okay? And I guess he tried to apologize, which, by the way, he's a very sarcastic guy. His humor is very sarcastic, and he knows he can get under my skin. So whenever the chance comes, he will take a jab. And he's probably the only person I've met where I cannot win an argument with him, which really also bugs me. So that just added on top of the layer of annoyance that was happening. But I guess whatever. Whole point is that I guess we got into some fight or whatever. He apologizes and I say words are cheap. Okay. Now this set the guy off. And to this day, it's just really, really funny because sometimes he'll, like, one of us will bring it up. And it becomes this whole debate for no apparent reason. He's just a very debatey type guy, okay? He likes to be right, and if he's not right, he'll try to spin it to its humor, okay? I just want to know how much his friends are laughing at this point. But anyway, he adamantly thinks that words are actually valuable. Now, I think he says this, to be honest, because he's, like, a writer, okay? Not only is a math geek who has a math major, which I never met anyone who else could do math as a living, let alone he wants to do math as a job. Okay, like, I don't like math, okay? Math and I are not friends. If anything, it's our unrequited love. I'm good at math. Math likes me, but I don't like math. Whatever. Whole point is that he has a little bit of a writer's language side of him, okay? And so I think that's maybe the reason why he thinks words, you know, mean something, but in a dating perspective, okay, and even just relationships with friends and people, whatever, your actions need to line up with your words. And if they don't, your words mean nothing. Because my point of view is that if civilization fell, crumbled to pieces, and all we're left with is the barter system, okay, where, you know, whatever, all you're left with is your word. And if your word has no value, you have no value in terms of reliability, in any aspect of your integrity, responsibility, reliability. I think the same thing should be holding true now. What you say matters. Words have power. Yes, that is true. When you're speaking motivation on yourself and blessings and even negativity, even bad thoughts, even overthinking, things that are meant to tear you down that you do to yourself, or you say to others, or you think about others. Yes, words are powerful in that way that it can influence maybe an attitude about a situation. But when it comes to seeing progress in people, it's the actions that matter more, especially when you're in that talking stage. Any relationship, really, in the early stages especially, do you want to see change? And I think what ends up happening is it's also about calling the person out the first time it happens in a relationship, okay? Because with guys, if you don't bring it up until, like, the fourth time, in their brain they're thinking, why didn't you bring it up the first time if it was an issue? Why are you bringing it up now? But for women, we think of it as, oh, we're just giving them a chance, like giving them the benefit of the doubt, or you find a reason in your brain, a reason like why they did this, or oh, maybe they did this, maybe they didn't put it in the, you know, laundry basket because it was super late, or this one, oh, he was in a rush, or blah, blah, blah. And the reason we don't mention it until X time is because of that. We give them a little bit of forgiveness. For guys, again, it's a one-track mind. They're not really thinking about the track history, but more about, it's already happened more than once, so if you didn't bring it up the first time, therefore it's not an issue. So that, I think, kind of comes back with the whole actions and words thing. Because if you're not even thinking about what your actions are doing, then of course you wouldn't care what you say. I mean, I've had plenty of guys, including Brad, who will say stuff, okay, but it doesn't line up with what they're actually doing. Now, this one last guy, I'll call him Seed. That's not his name, obviously. But there's probably someone out there with that name. Anyway, you know what? I don't even like that name. We're just going to go with Cole. So, Cole, he was nice. He was whatever, blah, blah, blah. Pretty nice word. Like, oh, we could do this, or we can do that. Like, saying words as if, like, oh, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, or when we do this, we're going to blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're so nice, you're so pretty, you're so not, like, blah, 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 blah. And then asks me to be his girlfriend. And I'm like, okay. 2 days later, he goes, actually, it's kind of too fast, da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, fine, I guess you're right, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Then he asks me a second time. And I say, should I trust you again? I even told him that. Should I trust you again? Okay, fine, whatever. 2 days later, literally the exact same thing, says, actually, I'm like not feeling this. I don't think it's gonna work out. Okay, I don't care. I slightly maybe like sad cry for a little bit and then I'm over it. 3 weeks go by. Cole reach out again. And he goes, hey, like, I feel really bad for what happened, and I'm sorry, and I would just feel really bad about myself, like, I'd kick myself and feel really stupid if I didn't reach out and try to make this work. And I'm thinking, okay, you're texting me at 3 o'clock in the morning, what is this up? You know, we all know the typical booty call, whatever, the intentions are threaded with that type of vibe, right? So I say, I don't know. Basically, I meet up in person, give him a super grilled interrogation. We iron things out, and he says, you know, I just had a lot of things on my mind. He was moving, you know, a lot of job stress because he was trying to find a new one, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the F I'm thinking, okay? And then he says, well, now that I have my life straightened out, I want to make you a part of my life, blah, blah. And I go, oh, okay. Literally 2 days later, the exact same pattern as the last two chances, he does the same thing. And he goes, I just feel like there's nothing really here. You're a great girl, but there's just something that's missing. I don't know what. Can't place my finger on him. Thinking, okay, bye, block number, right? Anyway, he said pretty things. He said pretty words. He said nice things about me. He said things like there was a future ahead of us. And it didn't do anything. Okay? And honestly, I should have listened to my gut. And the gut will tell you. I'm not even joking. The gut will tell you. And this applies for my entire area of all my lives. Okay? Especially academics. Okay? I go into a test. Pretty much all of the answers that I change are wrong. My gut was right. And I need to learn to trust it. And if you're like me too, we're in this together. Because honestly, if it's an uneasy feeling, then there is a reason for that feeling, okay? Your feelings, unless you're like an overthinker, which that case is a whole other topic of discussion. But words matter. And if your gut is already telling you, hey, something's not up, something's not right, blah, 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 normally it is the case, okay? Now, with opposite reaction, a good reaction is my last good relationship that I had. I remember that I brought up how, you know, we were a long distance and it was over the summer. We lived in two different cities and how I would have liked if he, you know, kept me more in the loop throughout the day, at least letting me know what time we were going to call or whatever. Because, you know, sometimes we would schedule something and then it would come like a little later and it bugged me, right? Now, I learned this pretty early on in the dating realm that as a girl, I'm sorry guys, I don't mean to say it, but it is the plainest simple English way I can put it. Y'all are like pets, like puppies, okay? And you need to catch the bad behavior as soon as it happens. Because again, you guys will see it as a non-issue if it's never brought up the first time you do it. You guys are like puppies, okay? As soon as you do something bad, women, you need to say it. Hey, this bothers me. Can you please blah, 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 blah. Hey, I feel. Use I feel, okay? Whenever you have a conversation, anytime you have a argument, you use I feel, okay? It's not just because it places the blame off of the person you're talking to, but it also shows empathy for what you need them to understand about what it put you through so that you guys can come to a solution, okay? With that out of the way, literally you need to bring it up as soon as it happens, because if you do not, the guy will not see it as an issue. They will make it will be a lot easier for them to dismiss it, because they're thinking, oh, you've never brought it up before, this is out of the blue, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So, I brought it up as soon as it happened. Okay? And he goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I will make sure to do that for you. You need that from me? Okay. That's where the actions kick in. Because literally the next day, I would get sporadic text messages anytime he could. Now, he was on calls for most of his summer job, okay? But whenever he could, he would let me know what was going on. Because I expressed what I needed or how I felt when I didn't get that. And he was able to offer that and understand where I was coming from. And what's like even funnier is that he did not think he was good with emotions, and he handles them so beautifully. This is what you want to see when you bring up something and they just do it, okay? Because it means they care. They care about what you think. They want to make you happy. They don't want to see you upset, okay? Women, you do not need an onion in your life. Do not let a guy in your life that is gonna make you cry. That is gonna make you sad. It's gonna make you feel bad about your life, yourself, etc. If they are, you throw them away. And if you are an onion, you gotta fix it. There's a reason. Either fix yourself. It's mainly fixing yourself because there's something wrong there. You shouldn't be dating. Just take yourself off the market. Okay? But women, you don't need to have an onion in your life. Okay? Guys are not made to be in your life to cry. Okay? We already have enough going on in our lives to manage drinking enough water, which I do know is a struggle for pretty much everyone but me. So drink your water. Exercising, feeling good, socializing, but also working hard, but also, you know, making sure that you get outside, but then also making sure you're eating right, but you also want to have fun and enjoy yourself and go out with friends, but you also want to make sure you have your peace. Like, we already have it hard enough, okay? We don't even invite hardness into our life. The heart that we have is chosen. But if you're going to choose anything, choose it wisely. Okay? There was this one video I saw, and it was this woman who says, the one person in your life that you can choose to be in it forever is your spouse. Think about it. This applies to both men and women. You can choose your parents. You can choose your siblings. You can choose your aunts, your uncles, your cousins' pets, grandparents, etc. But you can choose your spouse. Yeah, okay, divorce, whatever. But don't you think you want to get right the first time? That's a huge thing. That should be taken wisely. That should be taken with caution. Not overly cautious, but with a sense of purpose of, okay, what am I needing? What do I look for? Is this person fulfilling this? Are they not? How are they reacting to what I say? Are they defensive? Are they getting accusatory? Are they turning toxic and making it seem like it's your fault, the reason you're feeling this way? There are plenty of things that you should look at in terms of the situation. And I know it's nuanced. It's not always going to be straightforward, but for the most part, you can kind of map out what a person's going to do based off of enough conflicts that you have. That's why before you get married, you should live with them, go on a vacation with them. My mom gave me this advice. I'm just the mouthpiece to this, okay? She's a very, very wise person. Before you marry anyone, you want to move in with them and live with them. See if what if their quirks, their icks, their ugly habits, their gross living situations. You know, you want to see what their nitty gritty is, and you don't get to go under the hood and see what's going on, right? You want to go on a vacation, see how he handles these types of situations and stress. You want to make sure you see them at their worst, or at least like a bad break or bad something, a bad blah. Because that's when you see who someone's made out of. And that's with anyone. Okay? Then you want to see when they're sick. You want to see how they treat you. You want to see how they handle that. And this applies to both of y'all being sick, okay? You need to go through these criteria because, again, not everyone's happy-go-lucky. No one is, okay? We're human. Life is not kind. It is messy, but it's beautiful. So it's worth taking these shots. So he, my last relationship, was a beautiful example of what a partner should do when you hear concerns from your spouse. That's why I say actions speak louder than words. Now, my other guy, Chad, Brad, whatever I called him, yeah, he's gonna stand on the hilltop and he will die on that hill saying, no, it's not true. Like, words mean stuff. And okay, sure. Right. Okay. So think about how many divorces happened and what did they say when they got married? Death to this part. Love you for richer for poor. Sickness and in health. Yeah. Okay. So what was that? Oh, he's like, oh yeah, you know, they're in the moment. Yeah. Okay. Well then don't get married if it's in the moment. When you on your wedding day, I feel like you should have excitement or peace. You shouldn't be nervous. If nervous, it's logistics of the wedding happening, okay? Blah, 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 blah. Make sure this goes at the time. What if this happens? Da, 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 da. Guest. Getting from here to there. I don't really care. But it should not be about your relationship. So there should be no in-the-moment type of thing, okay? You don't do this in the moment. These are legal documents that you end up having to change and then you have to untie. Like, please. Spare me. Okay? Actions do speak louder than words. You want to get into religion? Okay? He could say, oh, I love you guys. Like, you know, your sins are forgiven. We love you and whatever. Okay. Well, technically they weren't. They were still on record. You had to go through rituals to go and obliterate and cleanse your sins, okay? And I'm telling you, if you even look at the book of Leviticus, you will see how thorough you had to be to cleanse your sins. And I'm talking about specific sins. Sins of the community. Sins of your individual. Sins of the priest. Sins of the whatever, okay? They're all very specific on what you wear, what you don't wear, when you wear it, how long you wear it, what are you sacrificing, what does it look like, what's the conditions, how you're going to sacrifice it, when you're going to sacrifice it, and then how long it's going to take for it to sit there, or when you need to cleanse, or what if you touch it, then you have to wash it, and it's a cleanser, okay? There's a lot of work, okay? Then God's son got sent down, and he sacrificed himself on the cross. He didn't say, oh no, you guys are all good, man. Sky Daddy said you're fine. No. He died on a cross. That's an action. Okay? He said, it is done. There was this one person in this video that I saw, and he mentioned how, please, I can't remember. I think it was Joseph, and he was in prison with this cupbearer and a baker, okay? And they have he has these dreams. And the baker gets released, and Joseph says, hey, when you get released, when you can, please remember me and try to get them to release me as well. Baker says, homie, I got you. You're good, okay? He doesn't do that. Cupbearer, same thing. Joseph says the same request. He gets released. Cupbearer actually goes to speak to the king because the king says, oh, I'm having some wacky dreams, man. I don't really know what to say about them. What do they mean? And cupbearer says, hey, yo, I met this guy in prison and he was really good at decoding dreams. Maybe you should talk to him. So he does. Joseph is able to interpret those dreams, and his life has changed from there on. Baker is executed. He dies. But the cupbearer, he lives on. And I remember this person in the video said, it's almost as if they're prophesying the crucifixion of Christ, because the body dies, but the blood of Christ is the one that shall save you, shall live on. Baker, bread, body, dies, cupbearer, wine, blood, lives. That's amazing. Actions do mean more than words. Why do you think the whole, if he wanted to, he would, where do you think that came from? It's literally the modern version of that sentence. They do. And you can't convince me otherwise. So yes, Brad will die on his hill. I will die on this hill. But frankly, I think my hill is the one that's going to outcompete. Because I remember that thing. And he got like deeply offended. Okay, he's like, apparently his apology was genuine. Again, gotta remember the situation. I don't remember diddly squat about what happened. All I remember is that he blew up at me. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm mad. Truly what you're saying, and especially because of his humor and the way he talks, it didn't occur to me that this was an apology. Because it wasn't. It didn't even sound like an apology. He didn't even use the words I sorry. He was pretty much like, oh, I kind of feel bad for how I did this, blah, 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 blah. And again, I said that. Was it immature? I don't think so. Again, I can't recall. But the whole point is that it sparked the entire debate and for the reason I came on here. And he, I think, has learned. I think he still is dying on the other hill, though, but it doesn't really matter. Actions do speak louder than words. And that should have you questioning, have your actions been aligning with your words? Because that is what determines a trustworthy person to a flake. A dependable person to someone who you can't ever trust with any task that you may need. The last person you'll ever come to for help. Are you going to be a person of truth or a person who tells lies? These are what make a person, and it is what makes you. These things are important. What are you going to do when you go to a job and you're tired and they say, hey, you need to do this? And then you say, oh yeah, I can do this. What are you going to do? Not do it? Calling sick? You can, but what does that say about you? That's where integrity comes in. You know, every single part of our aspects of what we do, not what we say, matters more. Like I, for example, no, I've been needing to lose weight, right? My family members keep telling me, hey, you need to lose weight. I'm not saying this because we don't like you. We're saying this because we love you. You are overweight. You need to work on your health, blah, blah, blah. Okay? And I would say, oh, yeah, I'm working on my weight. Like, I exercise every day, and I'm eating the right things, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, I wasn't. I was working out, but I wasn't eating great. So it kind of balanced out because, if you don't know this already, exercise is basically a minimal part of the equation for losing weight. It's all about what you eat. Because no matter how much you run, it's only going to like burn off the current stuff in your bloodstream. It's not doing much towards your overall body weight. That's a whole other discussion. Point is, I would talk a good talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. And who was the only person that was really hurting was me. What type of person are you going to be? Your actions do speak louder than words when it comes to reliability. Words are valuable in motivation. They're good in times of darkness when you need to be uplifted. Words are good when you need that boost of energy to strengthen you for something that you have to do that's hard, not easy. Words are powerful in the way to change your perspective, to change your mind, change your energy and your outlook on life. But they are only going to hurt you when it comes to showing up as a person, as a partner, as a friend, as a spouse, as a colleague, any title that is related to another person. That is where actions matter more. So yes, in terms of this, my hill is right. His is with a different thing. I can't see another way. And if there is, maybe I'll have to look for it. But that's the end of this. I'll see you guys next time.